But we do recognize God is wonderful in His grace and His mercy and His long-suffering. But He's closing the altar call. And verse 10 then starts and says, "The princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound." Now that's basically the same thing as the ecumenical movement here in our modern time. God set up bounds. And He said, you're not to mix with the pagans. You remember Solomon, if you're reading our Bible calendar with us, just this week we read about Solomon. And Solomon didn't listen to the bounds that God set up, and he married with these pagan women, and they pulled him away from God into their gods, and he built temples and things for these false gods, and it's horrible. Let's look at that. It's in 1 Kings. We're just reading it. And there it is. 11. He had 700 wives. 11:3. 700 wives, and in addition to that, princesses. In addition to that, 300 concubines. And then it says, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, which is that's when you ought to be really mature in your faith and enjoying your relationship with the Lord, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Now David got older, he matured, and he got closer to the Lord. And then verse 5 says, Solomon went after. That means he took part in this worship. Went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Down verse 7 is the worst. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
And here's the worst. For Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. Yeah. You know what they did for Molech worship? Molech would sit there with he has arms like this, and they heat underneath the thing. The priests would heat, and it would heat his arms, and they'd throw little babies on there. And they'd have drums and chanting and other music to drown out the screams. And think of Solomon reaching that point, but none of us get high-minded or haughty about it. If we start in the wrong direction, we could end up... But that's what happened. God hates that. He hates that. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians. And I am told that I'm a hater. I'm told that on a regular basis. And I'm told that because I won't join hands with false religion.
Amen.
And I'm told that I don't have the spirit of love. I'm talking, all I do is tell them I believe Jesus, as her song says, Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I haven't argued with them. I haven't said anything a lot of times. They'll just hear me preaching. And I'll get messages, and they'll call us. And on Google, a couple people have given us reviews and called us haters. But 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14... This is not hate, this is obedience. When God says, read it with me, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? The answer is none. None. And so if you are joining up with unbelievers in the name of God, in the name of religion, you are in defiance of God's word.
Amen.
You're the one who hates, not me. You hate truth and you hate God's word. Verse 15 says, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? That's a word you never hear people use anymore. And what agreement, verse 19, go ahead and read that with me, or verse 16, I'm sorry. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's why this is so serious. You're the temple of God. You've got the Spirit of God in you. You go joining hands with false religions and false gods. You're taking God into that. You're taking His Spirit into that. It's a wonder He doesn't just strike people dead for it.
Amen.
It's His long-suffering. So what do you do? Well, let's read verses 17 and 18 together. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. There you go. So they've removed the bounds, and God says, therefore, I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. So He's kind of saying the bound is like the dam that keeps the flood waters from coming down on you.
Yep.
How many of you ever read or seen anything on the Johnstown, Pennsylvania flood?
Amen.
That's one of those where the rich people who owned the place ignored the warnings that the dam was being breached, and they didn't fix it and put it off and put it off. They wanted to spend their money on their booze and their gambling and all that. They didn't want to spend money to fix the dam, and so that thing broke and killed I don't know how many. They just wiped a whole town off the map.
Amen.
It's still under the lake.
Yep.
And that's the kind of thing that's coming on Israel and Judah. They have removed the bound. The dam has broken, and now God's going to pour out His wrath like water. I don't want to be there.
Amen.
I don't want to be there.
Amen.
So ecumenical unity is Antichrist.
Amen.
We sing a song. We could have sang it tonight, I guess. The gospel brings unity. But if you don't unify with me on the gospel, we have no unity.
Amen.
If we pretend to have unity, we're liars. And that's what was going on in Israel back then. Verse 11, back in Hosea 5 then, says, Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked after the commandment. Now, be careful, because I have to tell you, it was hard for me to understand this the first few times I read it. And that's why I always tell you, if you can find somebody that's a good, decent commentator that isn't always correcting God's word and everything, and even some of the old ones, I just ignore it when they do because they didn't know any better. But like Matthew Henry, and you got the J. Vernon McGee, you got Peter Ruckman, you got, I'm trying to think, even John Wesley. I don't agree with John Wesley's doctrine, but a lot of what he wrote, especially in the Old Testament, I really enjoy his notes on the Old Testament. But you see that it says, because he willingly walked after the commandment. So you're thinking, wait a minute, that sounds like a good thing, right? Walking after the commandment. And then, but you have to keep the context. And you realize what he's saying is he rejects God's commandment and followed the commandment of Jeroboam. Now, how did that come to pass? How did I first put two and two together was because I was reading through the Bible. Then finally it stuck. When you go back and read back in the Kings where we just were, right where we were, in the next two chapters, you'll see where Jeroboam, after Rehoboam, comes to become king. After Solomon, then God uses the young men with their bad counsel to then split the kingdom into north and south. And the first king of the north is Jeroboam. And Jeroboam is crazy. And it is, God says, Jeroboam, gives him 10 pieces of cloth, says, here, we're going to make you king. You'll have 10 tribes. God's telling him this through the prophets.
Yeah.
And he does it. And then Jeroboam says, well, I'm afraid that if all of our people go down to worship at the temple, they'll never come back, which is insane. And so he makes up a new religion and comes up with his own commandment, which is what that's referenced to there in verse 11. He willingly, Ephraim, Israel, the northern tribe, walked after that commandment of Jeroboam.
Wow.
And it was to offer sacrifices to cows. And they weren't even real. They were artistic renderings of cows, idols. Like the calf, you know, Aaron, you know, said, give me your earrings and everything. And he tells Moses, all I know is we threw the gold in there and out come this calf. It's a miracle, you know. But speaking of Matthew Henry, he says, that is the commandment of Jeroboam and the succeeding kings of Israel. They all followed Jeroboam's new commandment, who obliged all their subjects by a law to worship the calves at Dan and Bethel, the house of God. That's why God didn't want to talk about it anymore. He wouldn't even call it by name. He would call it Beth-Aven. And never to go up to Jerusalem to worship because he was afraid they wouldn't come back to him as their king.
That was at 1 Kings 12.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good prophecy there, Jenny. Let's go look at that. 1 Kings 12.
We just read this
yesterday. Yeah. It's just funny how I didn't know that was going to happen. Was it yesterday? You know, I just enjoy life in my home with my wife so much. The days just fly by and become intertwined and intertwinkled.
You can tell me the truth later.
As Lord is my witness. 1 Kings 12:25. I'll say this. I just say, and you all have your own things. We didn't always read together like that, but I'm going to tell you, as long as we can both see our Bible and do it, we'll keep doing it. I wish we had always done this. We did it when the kids came, and then we kind of got away from it. She was driving to work a lot and listening to her Bible and the tapes and everything. But now we see each other every evening now, and we don't go anywhere. Yeah, the COVID-19 restrictions didn't change our lifestyle one bit. We're stuck at home all the time anyway. Not stuck. We're happy to be stuck, as Huey Lewis, I think, said. But anyway, here in 1 Kings 12:25 says, then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim. There it is. Look at that. That's why God's calling Israel Ephraim. And dwelt therein and went out from thence and built Penuel. And look at what verse 26. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. God gave him that kingdom and said it's his. So what's his problem? He doesn't believe the word of God. That's what will happen to you if you don't believe the word of God. And so verse 27, he's reasoning in his mind. Apart from Scripture, he says, if this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, and even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me. And go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. The old saying is, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. But in this case, he's paranoid.
Yeah.
They're not after him. And that's what will happen when you get away from God's word. You want to know why so many Christians, always a disclaimer, I'm sure there are some who need it, a very small number of people, but most of the Christians on psych meds are on psych meds because they get away from the Word of God, they won't do what God tells them to do, they make a wreck of their life, and then they turn to a pill. And that's exactly the same scenario Jeroboam followed, only he probably turned to booze. But verse 28 says, whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. So he's got a big crusade going on here with the rock band and the new idols, the new religion. I'm not going to read through all that. But verse 33 ends by saying, so he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar. Listen, folks, you go to these churches and they have their feast days and all that. They just made it up. There's nothing in the Bible about that. That's why I tell people, we don't do, Easter, for example. We don't do an Easter service. We do look at the calendar, do the math, and tell everybody, this is when Jesus rose from the dead. And it's not on Sunday every year. And we celebrate it as a real thing. And then if we can, if it happens to land on a Sunday or Wednesday, we'll have a communion and that sort of thing. But we don't set up a calendar of feast days because the Bible doesn't set it up that way. If you want to celebrate, fine. If you want to observe something, fine. But don't blame God. Don't act like it's God. And that's what exactly the Roman Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church and the Lutheran Church and a lot of these Protestant denominations have all done the same thing. And is it any wonder they are all going into apostasy? You get away from God's word, you just make things up and devise it in your own heart. That's where you're going to go. And that's what's going on right here. As Hosea continues in verses 12 and 13, he says, "Therefore I will be unto Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness." Let me say something. Where was it? Down in Georgia. I'll just say this. It's a Baptist church down in Georgia. It was started by a few families that came together in about 1956. And I read up on it and everything. You go to that church today, you got this really old guy who gets up there and tries to act all cool, you know. And they've changed everything to look like a rock concert. It looks that way. It's dark out there, spotlights, loud music. Just the 7-Eleven songs, you know. They don't sing anything of substance. But I told Jenny, if you could take those people when they were starting that church, put them in a time machine and say, "Now, I'm sorry, but I got to show you this. This is what you're planting. This is what it's going to become by the year 2020. They probably would disband. I don't think they'd go through with planting the church. Or what they would do is try to make some more stringent rules to keep it from becoming that. But you know, the answer isn't either one of those. The answer is just stick with the book.
Amen.
That church doesn't preach the Bible. It preaches from the Bible. It uses the Bible. And it's a corrupt Vatican Codex Bible. And it's been that way since the 80s and 90s. They started going into the new versions, and little by little, it became what it is now. So the thing is, those people started that church and they declared, "We believe the King James Bible, and this is the only translation this ministry will ever use. And if you ever get away from this book, you close the doors and change the name."
Amen.
You go start somewhere else with a new name.
Amen.
But that's not how the parasites work. The parasites don't start churches. They come into churches that already exist. And then, as the heretic John Piper will tell you, lovingly take a church away from the King James Bible.
That's right.
I don't see how they sleep at night. Bunch of crooks and liars. Coming into local churches that are established on the King James Bible with fundamental doctrine. And then they little by little, like little termites, start eating away at the foundation so they can change it into something they want it to be.
Amen.
What a... John Piper's a punk.
Amen.
And all these false teachers and false preachers, everybody's bootlicking all the time. I'm not going to do it.
Amen.
If you're a liar and a crook, I'm going to tell you you're a liar and a crook. And if you're listening to a liar and a crook and you say, "Oh, I like this guy," I'm not going to be mean to you. But I'm just going to tell you when they're a liar and a crook.
Amen.
Or if when they just aren't a good teacher.
Amen.
You know? Charles Stanley. The guy uses these pathetically corrupt Bible versions, and he just uses the Bible to teach pop psychology. If you listened to Charles Stanley for 40 years and didn't listen to anybody teaching the Bible like we do here, you'll be as dumb 40 years from now than you are the day you started listening. Because you're going to have your head filled with pop psychology and Bible abuse and not really learn the Bible.
Yeah.
But that's gone on. I mean, these churches that call themselves Independent Fundamental Baptists, you listen to them teach, all they do is take one verse and they ought to just rip it, throw it on the Bible, and start stomping on it. Because they don't teach what it actually is meant to say. And that's what happened in Israel. The prophets would preach the truth, and people wouldn't like what they heard, and along would come the ones that would speak unto them smooth things. And that's why Israel and Judah went to the pit. Verse 13 continues and says, "When Ephraim saw his sickness, and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to" who? "The Assyrian." They didn't turn to God. They turned to the Assyrian and sent to King Jareb. "Yet could he not heal you nor cure you of your wound." And the Christian today turns to Sigmund Freud's bastard offspring and their DSM, is that what we call that book? The Psychology Bible. And they turn to pills, and they turn to yoga, and they turn to transcendental meditation, and they turn to everything and everyone that they see on TV like a bunch of dumb sheep, and they don't turn to God, don't turn to His Word. As I was telling Doug yesterday, if the ministry, and I'm talking, that's what I'm saying, in 30 years ministry, very few people have ever listened to me. They'll come and ask me a question, I'll give them scripture to read and everything, they don't listen. And if the ministry, if the goal of the ministry, I was telling Jenny this on the way home a couple weeks ago when we were talking about something. Wasn't talking about any of you. But we were just talking about some things. And I said, "Jenny, if the purpose of the ministry was to prove that people don't listen, I am a grand success." Because in 30 years, I've watched them jump off the cliff one after the other. And there's nothing I can do. And that's what happened to the prophets. We read Isaiah and Jeremiah, but you don't see big altar calls. You don't see a bunch of people repenting. Ironically, the one time you saw it, like with Jonah in Nineveh, he got upset because they did. So seeking help from the godless instead of turning to God. That's what you're seeing in among Christians today. And they won't listen. And verse 14 says, "For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion and as a young lion to the house of Judah." If you want to know what he's talking about, you can watch the Christian nature videos and movies don't show this because they're too nice. They don't want you to see the results of the fall, so it's too pretty. So you have to go to the evolutionist and watch on PBS or the Animal Planet and some of those. I remember watching when I was a kid, Mutual of Omaha presents.
I love those.
Yeah, Wild Kingdom. There you go. And every week you got to see animals killing and eating each other. And if you ever saw the lions attack, and they just rip the thing up, and then they'd go over and lay down. It's like they'd let it baste a little while in the sunlight, you know. And then sometimes they would go off and leave it to other lions or whatever. They'd get what they wanted, and then they'd have a torn up mess, and they'd leave. Yeah, isn't that sweet? But that's what God is saying here. I will be unto Ephraim as a lion and as a young. That's what he did, folks. When the Assyrians came down on Israel, God didn't do it. God lifted his protection and let these Assyrians do the work. And they took people, and I'm not going to get too graphic, but here's just the basics. They skinned them alive. Dashed their babies' heads on rocks. I mean, they would siege to the point where they would turn, the Jews in Israel, and then later it happened in Judah, would turn to cannibalism. And parents eating their own children. God didn't do that. But I'll tell you what, that's what the Great Tribulation is going to be worse than. When God removes the church and lifts his hand and lets the Antichrist and all that wickedness take off, Jesus said it'll be worse than anything we've ever seen, and we've already seen that. Man. So he continues, says, I, even I, will tear and go away. I will take away and none shall rescue him. It's self-explanatory, no more than what I said already need to be said. So let's read verse 15 as we close. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. And in 734 B.C. was when it all began. Within a few years, Israel was gone. In Judah, it would take a little while longer, 597 B.C. in earnest, 606 when it really started. And then by 586, gone. And that's where the book of Daniel begins. And then they came home, some of them, the ones that survived, their children, came home and came back to the land. They rejected Jesus. And so in 70 A.D., nothing. Until 1948, there's just a tiny little remnant of Jews in that land. And the regathering has begun, but the apostasy and chastisement has only just begun. And we don't have time to read all this, but I want to give you these two references. Ezekiel 5, 11 and 12. And Jenny, look that up real quick. Ezekiel 5, 11 and 12. And Zechariah 3, 7, 9. All right, you talked me into it. Zechariah 3. 13. I'm sorry, 13. Thank you. I was going to turn to 3. Yeah, you read the Ezekiel one real loud.
Wherefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely because thou hast defiled my sanctuary with all thy detestable things and with all thine abominations, therefore will I also diminish thee. Neither shall mine eye spare, neither will I have any pity. A third part of thee shall die with the pestilence, and with famine shall they be consumed in the midst of thee. And a third part shall fall by the sword round about thee, and I will scatter a third part into all the winds, and I will draw out a sword after them.
Two thirds die, the other third scattered. And if that's in reference to the tribulation, you read about that in Revelation 12. Yeah. The final third is run out of Israel into the wilderness. Zechariah 13 8 and 9, I'll just read, says, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And then it says, I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. They'll do that in the wilderness. Revelation 12. So closing thoughts, it's good to be saved, amen. It's even better to be saved and serve the Lord for His glory. Amen. Let's sing.
Talks with me along life's day.